Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. I'm George Taylor, with you today for podcast number 67, Books That Go Together, edition number 2. Now, as I explained in the first of this series last week, I'm referring to books and characters whose stories are so good that they cannot be told in one novel. It takes multiples. I've recorded several of these. In fact, today I finished the recording for the fourth book in Regina Puckett's Warren Family series entitled Love's Great Plan. Now, that's a series worth listening to. This fourth book will be available in a few weeks. So last week we started talking about a great American hero, Michael Weber. His story is told in the Nighthawk books written by Jerry Minshew. We sampled the first book last week. This week we'll sample book number 2, entitled Vanishing Shadows. Last week, at the end of Nighthawk, we saw that Michael was inundated by an unusual event. A satellite falling to Earth. Now, what did that do to this young man? Well, he gradually discovers that his abilities are now augmented. And since he is enlisted in the Air Force, the service takes a very strict interest in Michael's well-being and his abilities. This segment that I'm going to play for you now is from the end of the first book, Nighthawk.
Are you familiar with the expression SOG team, Sergeant?
No, sir.
SOG is an acronym for Studies and Observation Group. They are clandestine six-man U.S. Army recon teams. 3 days ago, communication with the SOG team in the area came to a sudden halt. We don't know if they've been captured or killed. We need to get someone in there so that we can find out what's going on. Colonel Gates said, Sergeant Weber, the President thinks that you're the man for the job.
The President, sir?
Yes.
Of the United States, sir?
Yes. The President of the United States knows about me, sir? Pointing to a red telephone on his desk, Colonel Gates said, Absolutely. That phone is a direct line to the White House. I briefed him almost daily on your progress. Just this morning, he ordered me to ask you to volunteer for this assignment. Before you give your answer, I need to tell you that there are some who question your ability to accomplish this mission. One reason is your lack of combat experience.
That's why Major Lazar and Captain Chow are here. Judging by what I've seen in you during the past few weeks, I believe that they can conduct a crash course and teach you what you need to know. I believe that you have the ability to learn in 3 days what most people would take 6 weeks to learn. They can teach you how to gather the intel that we need. They can also teach you some basic survival skills, self-defense, and how to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. However, I will not order you to go on this mission. It is strictly voluntary. Sir, I want to thank you for your vote of confidence. I promise you that I'll give it 110%. But, sir, you said that there are other concerns?
Colonel Gates looked at Colonel Hardy.
Not concerns about you directly, but concerns about your heritage.
My heritage, sir? Colonel Hardy walked away from the map and stood before Michael. There is an old saying that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. For instance, I'm a career military man like my father and grandfather before me. Lisa Weber was killed while robbing a bank. Jake Weber continues to live as a fugitive.
Michael stood and put his hands on his hips. Standing straight and tall, he stood an inch taller than Colonel Hardy. He smiled.
You don't know the whole story, Colonel.
Unfortunately, neither do I. I do know this, that I'm not a Weber. On the day that the accident occurred, I discovered that Jake and Lisa were not my biological parents. Just today, I received a letter from an attorney in California with news that it may be impossible for me to ever find out exactly which tree this apple did fall from. He turned to Colonel Gates.
Sir, I feel like I've been reborn. I'm going to take your advice. I resolved right now to forget the past and start molding my own future. I'm going to start by officially volunteering for this assignment.
Colonel Gates stood, reached across the desk, and shook Michael's hand.
I had a feeling that you'd say that.
Colonel Hardy also shook his hand, smiling. "Welcome to Air Force Special Ops, Sergeant Weber," Major Lazar said. "We got a lot of work to do, so let's get started."
Michael goes on to complete his assignment successfully and spectacularly. As the saga continues in Nighthawk Vanishing Shadows, Michael is now Lieutenant Weber, an officer. He helps to take down a drug ring, and he has an interesting encounter with a young lady named Michelle Walker. He doesn't know this, but we do. She is his twin sister, and by the way, she doesn't know he's her brother either. He gives her a ride, and this is part of the conversation.
"From airman to first lieutenant, you've done well. It was a lot of hard work, wasn't it?" As he drove out of the parking lot, he said, "Yeah, but I've had some lucky breaks along the way. There are also some friends who helped me out. Speaking of friends, if there's ever any way I can help you, give you a ride while you're without a car or anything, I'll be glad to help out."
"That's very sweet of you. I would, however, like to have an understanding right up front. You're a nice guy, and I like you, but I'm not interested in a boyfriend right now. I've had some issues that I need to work out. Strange as it may sound, some of it has to do with your name. My dad's name is Michael. My brother's name is Michael. Most of my boyfriends have been named Michael, and they all dumped me. So I just don't want you to get the wrong idea."
Michael interrupted. "Whoa, hold on there. If I've misled you and accidentally asked you out on a date, then I apologize. That was not my intention. I just offered to be a friend to a girl in a new place. I don't want you to get the idea that I have the hots for you."
"You don't have to be so crude about it, and you don't have to get so huffy. My goodness, I just know how guys are."
"Oh, so you've stereotyped me?"
"No, I just know what guys think when they meet an attractive girl. Now, you tell me that when I said there was someone here that I wanted to spend some time with, that you didn't think that I meant you. I saw it on your face."
"Oh, now I understand the problem."
"What?
You're stuck on yourself."
"No, I'm not."
"Yes, you are. And that proves that you're not my type."
"What do you mean? What type am I?"
"It doesn't matter."
"Oh, yes, it does."
"Why? Because I'm not like every other guy named Michael who fell head over heels the first time that he saw you?"
"I never said that. And it matters because you've stereotyped me now. What did you mean that I'm not your type?"
"I'd better shut up."
"No, I want to hear this. I need to know what type of girl that I am, since you're such an expert on the matter."
"It doesn't matter."
"Yes, it does."
"Why?"
"Because it does. That's why."
"You're a spoiled rich girl, okay? Now are you satisfied?"
"A spoiled rich girl? What do you mean, a spoiled rich girl?"
"Your family is rich, aren't they?"
"They're well off. They've worked hard for it. They deserve it. Nothing has been handed to them on a silver platter."
"I'll bet that you were the only second lieutenant at the Pentagon to drive a Mercedes to work every day."
"Well, that just shows how smart you are, Mr. Know-It-All. My car was not a Mercedes."
"It wasn't?"
"No, it wasn't."
"Then I apologize. What kind was it?"
"It doesn't matter."
"Oh, yes, it does."
"No, it doesn't."
"Yes, it does."
"Why?"
"Because of what Shakespeare said. That's why."
"What in the world does Shakespeare have to do with this?"
"Methinketh thou protestest too loudly," or something like that. Michelle started to laugh, and Michael asked, "What's so funny?"
"Shakespeare with a southern accent. I don't know, it has a certain ring to it."
"Well, wasn't he from southern England?" Still laughing, Michelle said.
"Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that he was."
Michael started to laugh.
"It can't be that funny." "I don't know why, but when you said it, I just got tickled."
"You're trying to change the subject, aren't you?" She laughed harder.
"Yes, I am."
"It's not going to work. What kind of car was it?"
"It was a BMW, okay?"
Michael laughed.
"Oh, well, excuse me. That makes a big difference, doesn't it?" "I can't believe we're having this conversation."
"It's silly, isn't it?"
Michael turned the car into the visitor center next to the main gate, and Michelle said,
"That's my family there. Thanks for the ride. I'm really sorry that we had an argument."
Michael asked with surprise, "That's your family?"
We continue the element of humor, as well as the search for the family and identity in this book. If you picked up on the ending of this last segment, then you could tell that Michael is beginning to get some clues as to the identity of his birth family. But someone is already ahead of him in this search, and Michelle becomes a pawn in an international game of intrigue. As you might guess, Michael is the one who has chosen to rescue her. In this segment, Michael meets the chief movers in the game when he goes to Vietnam to rescue Michelle.
Michael looked at the name badge on the general's uniform and said, "General Ivankovich." The general said, "Yes, we finally meet face to face, Michael Weber. Or should I call you Michael Walker? Of course, we could be more formal, and I could just call you Nighthawk. You, of course, know me because you have spent time in my private office, uninvited, of course."
The only reaction from Michael was a slightly raised eyebrow. The general smiled and said,
"Yes, I knew that you had been there because, as good as you are, you made one mistake."
Michael said, "Why don't you enlighten me so that next time I'll know better?" The general said,
"I think that I will hold on to that information for now. You have been a formidable force, and I may need that advantage again sometime."
Michael said, "I must admit that you're smarter than I give you credit. Von Ho's little hidden hideaway here was a pushover the last time I was here. I thought that I'd breeze into town, snatch my sister out, and enjoy a reunion with my family by tomorrow. But your boys were ready for me out there. So here I am. Now let's see if we can negotiate some sort of compromise so that my sister and I can be safely on our way and you can save face with your government." The general asked, "Why do you think that I need to save face with my government?"
Michael answered, "You were the one who supervised the failed Project Perun experiment. You deliver me and the past is forgotten. I'd like to propose a deal, but I'd like to do it in private, if you don't mind. Von Ho, would you kindly leave the room?"
Von Ho laughed, but the general said,
"Go ahead and leave us. I want to hear what he has to say."
The veins stuck out on Von Ho's neck.
"May I remind you that I am the commanding officer here? This is my office."
The general spun around.
"May I remind you that you have been officially listed as MIA by your government? It would be a shame for them to learn of your secret enterprise here."
Von Ho slapped the baton against his leg and stormed out of the office in anger. The general said,
"I am listening."
Michael reached into a leg pocket and withdrew a hypodermic needle.
"I always have a contingency plan. Here's the deal. I give you a sample of my blood, and you allow my sister and me to walk out of here. You explain to your government that I escaped. You get what you want, and I get what I want."
The general said,
"You and I both know that the alien organism which empowers you dies once it has been removed from your body. The only way that it will work is for you to be present in order to do a transfusion."
Michael said, "You have at least 30 or 40 soldiers out there. Surely one of them has my blood type. I could inject them. The organisms will live long enough for me to do that. Come on, General, work with me here. You know how important it is for me to know my real family. If you didn't know that, then we wouldn't be here. I'm willing to betray my country in order to be with them."
The general said, "Why don't you tell me what it is that I want? I'm curious to know what the great Nighthawk thinks."
Michael said, "You plan to hold my sister safely as a hostage as long as I work for you. If you have my blood, then one of your own can work for you."
The general said, "You are partially correct. But I do require your services, and I do wish to transfer your blood to one of my soldiers. However, I do not wish to expend the resources that would be necessary to ensure your continued cooperation. I have one job for you. After that, you and your sister will be free to go.
Michael asked, What is this one job? The general answered,
I only want you to assassinate someone for me.
Michael said, Whoa, hold up there, buddy. First, I'm not an assassin. Second, I see where we're headed with this. I kill someone in my own government, then I have to come to you for asylum because my own government wants to lock me up and throw away the key.
The general laughed. Oh, no, that is not it at all. I want you to assassinate the premier of the Soviet Union.
Didn't see that one coming. Those are Michael's words to the general's proposal. So, will he accept the general's offer, or does he have some other way to take care of this situation and get him and Michelle out of Vietnam and home again? The exit from Nam is a big part of the adventure of this book. It takes place at the time when the American forces are pulling out of Vietnam for good. The stakes are high, the journey is difficult, but Michael and Michelle discover their identities and bond as siblings. In the meantime, back in the States, other connections to the family are causing concerns, including Michael's original kidnapper. And Michael is truly falling in love.
In Los Angeles, California, Kathy Brannon put her pen down, removed her glasses, and rubbed her eyes. She stretched her tired muscles, put her glasses back on, and read the paragraph in her college textbook once more. She looked up thoughtfully, then started to write in the notebook on the desk. The telephone rang, and she turned to pick up the receiver.
Hello, Michael said. The mountains are off in the distance. It rained today, and we still have some dark clouds overhead. There's a break in the cloud bank just above the mountains. Between the mountains and the cloud bank is one of the most beautiful sunsets that I've ever seen.
What color is it?
A mixture of red, blue, and orange. Kathy waited for him to say something else. She finally broke the silence.
Is that the only reason that you called?
Yeah. I just wanted to describe the most delightful sunset that I've ever seen to the most attractive girl that I've ever known. I have to go now. I'm about to leave for home with my family.
Home's in Minnesota now, isn't it?
It sure is.
Michael, I am so happy for you. I look forward to the time when we can be together again, but I want you to cherish every moment with your family.
Goodbye.
Kathy hung up the phone, opened the desk drawer, and took out her diary. She opened it and wrote,
Love is when he calls long distance just to describe the sunset.
That ends our look at these two books which go together. But the story isn't yet finished. There is more to come in a third book, Nighthawk Revelation. I don't have a release date on that book yet, much less the audiobook. That's up to a very busy author. The Nighthawk books are available at audible.com and in the iTunes store. You'll find links on my website. Go to narrationbygeorge.com/books. At the top of the screen, you'll see the icons for this week's featured books, both of the Nighthawks books, at the very top of that screen. Click on the links to get to the website for either or both of these books and enjoy. Well, that's our time for this week. Don't forget you can stay in touch with me by going to Facebook or Twitter. On Facebook, search for Narration by George. At Twitter, I am at Narration by Geo. Or you can email me through my website, narrationbygeorge.com. Click on the Contact Me link. In the meanwhile, God has blessed you. Share that blessing with others. Bye.